the senator stepped up his pace toward the presidency. He and his wife seldom left the house. They were often alone, occasionally invited a few friends to dine. Weekends, when most people were relaxing, Jacqueline explained, he worked the hardest. For 3 years previous to his campaign, he traveled around the country, speaking almost everywhere. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, back in 1959, received approximately 10,000 invitations to make speeches throughout the nation. Senator Kennedy and his wife might fly to Milwaukee, stay there perhaps 2 or 3 days, get up at 6:30 a.m., have breakfast, lunches, and dinners at different places, press conferences, speeches, and TV appearances. Jacqueline worked hard to help her husband achieve his goal, the presidency of the United States.
Ever since we were married in 1953, I counted I've been in 46 states with him. Well, in a way, it was the best training for everything, for the life I lead now. You've got to know so much about people, how they spoke, how they felt. Granted, the exhaustion is there, but you're with your husband in the major endeavor you share. And then when you look back on it, you've seen so much of the country, all the people you've met. It's just made you a person that you weren't before.
Jacqueline's first child was born the first day after Thanksgiving in 1957, a baby girl, Caroline. Her second baby, John Fitzgerald, was to be born at Christmas time, the presidential election year. She was torn between determination to help her husband become president of the United States and fear that any effort on her part may cost her this most wanted child. Though Jacqueline's new baby was expected in only weeks, she appeared on TV shows and at TV fundraising teas. She wrote a weekly newspaper column called Campaign Wife, gave press conferences in Hyannisport and Washington. She rode with her husband in their car on political campaigns while cheering crowds of people everywhere, estimated at approximately 2 million, were shouting and waving. It's been said that on numerous occasions, they stopped their car to shake hands with eager enthusiasts. It was one of the great moments shared by Senator Kennedy and his wife.
Wyoming's vote will make a majority for Senator Kennedy.
For me to give you an answer to your nomination until Friday night, but I think you can guess what the answer will be.
And there was no doubt as to what the answer would be. The road was hard and strenuous, but at last, victory. Senator John F. Kennedy was now a nominee for the presidency of the United States.
What about you, Mrs. Kennedy? What did you think of it?
Unbelievable. I'm speechless. I've never seen anything like it.
On November 8th, 1960, John F. Kennedy was elected president of the United States. Jacqueline's reaction over the phone was,
"Hello, isn't it wonderful? Do you think so? Yes. Nothing that made very much sense. Just happy people."
On January 20th, in 1961, he was inaugurated the 35th President of the United States.
Only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
15 minutes after the new president had been sworn in, the First Lady had her white satin and chiffon inaugural gown, her choice pieces of French furniture, house paintings, books, and a few other cherished belongings, moved from the Kennedys' Georgetown home to their new home, the White House. Jacqueline, the third youngest First Lady in American history, was to carry on her responsibilities with grace and charm.
I don't think the White House ever can completely belong to one person. It belongs to the people of America. And I think whoever lives in it, the First Lady, should preserve its traditions and enhance it and leave something of herself there. But she shouldn't just leave it an empty museum. See, I don't think there's very much time for socializing because the president puts in such long days that he must be preserved rather than expended. But of course, you would do official entertaining, and I don't think that should be treated as a drudgery.
Jacqueline Kennedy, the new First Lady, made the White House a showplace displaying warmth and beauty.
I remember the first time I came here as a child. I was 11 years old, and my mother brought me here on Easter vacation. When I think of all the school children who come through here, I think there should be flowers when there can be, and fires going, and the pictures, and to make it look rather like a home and not so frightening.
Accepting the responsibilities as First Lady of the land is within itself a monumental task. In addition, Jacqueline never neglected her duties as a wife and mother.
There's so little privacy. I don't mind for myself, but I think it's very hard with them. For instance, I wanted to take my daughter to the circus last week, and I decided I just shouldn't because I would ruin it for her. I worked so hard to make her little ballet school a private thing that we could do together. And there were all the photographers waiting when we got there. So it's a little hard. People seem so interested in whatever the first family likes. That's where I think one can lead. One doesn't know whether one leads in the right direction or not, but one hopes one does. I think it doesn't matter what else you do if you don't do that part well, if you fail your husband and your children. That really is the role which means the most to me, though obviously I have a deep sense of obligation for the others, but that's the one that comes first.
Jacqueline was received with much enthusiasm, and when her husband was meeting with Premier Khrushchev in the Soviet Union, the demonstrations were so great for Jacqueline that she and Mrs. Nina Khrushchev came to the balcony to acknowledge the applause. The people of Paris admired her American clothes and her Madonna look.
I do not think it altogether inappropriate to introduce myself to this audience. I am the man who accompanied Jacqueline Kennedy to Paris, and I've enjoyed it.
The Children's Art Carnival was presented by Mrs. Kennedy to Indira Gandhi, the Prime Minister's daughter.
It gives Madame Gandhi, my friend, it gives me great pleasure to present to you today the Children's Art Carnival. It is a present for the children of India from the International Council of the Museum of Modern Art and the Asia Society. Its purpose is to stimulate the artistic imagination of children, the artists of tomorrow. I've often noticed, and especially this morning at the Bal Sayog, that the art of children is really the same the world over. And so, of course, is our feeling towards children. It seems to me that in a world where there is quite enough that divides people, it is good to cherish a feeling and an emotion that unites us all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Kennedy.
Art is indeed a universal language, and I hope that through this we will have a better understanding between the artists of India and of the United States, and through them between the peoples of the two countries. Thank you. And may I present you on behalf of the children of India with some dolls wearing different costumes of our country and some pictures painted by the children of Delhi.
Thank you. Absolutely lovely.
She observed the people of Pakistan and their way of life.
It's really terribly sad to be leaving today. I've always heard of the legendary hospitality of Pakistanis, and now I've had a chance to see for it myself. It's even more than people said it was. And if I was a little tired when I arrived here, the vitality of your country and your people have revived me. These have been the most magic 2 weeks in my life, and I can't tell you how grateful I am. So goodbye to everyone, and thank you all.
Her trip to Miami was highlighted when she spoke to the 506 Brigade survivors of the Bay of Pigs invasion in Cuba.
Para mí, el estar hoy entre un grupo de los hombres más valientes del mundo. Y de participar en la alegría que tienen que sentir los miembros de sus familias, quienes por tanto tiempo vivieron esperanzadas, rogaron y esperaron.
The people received her speeches as eloquent, truthful, and sincere. She possessed the true feeling of understanding, most gracious and becoming, of a First Lady. 1963 will be a year to remember. Jacqueline accompanied her husband when he spoke in Houston. On November 22nd, President John Fitzgerald Kennedy gave this memorable speech to the people of Houston.
Next month, when the United States of America fires the largest booster in the history of the world into space for the first time, giving us the lead, fires the largest payload into space, giving us the lead, it will be the largest payroll, too. Who should know that better than Houston?
Only 2 hours later, President Kennedy, his wife Jacqueline, Governor John Connally of Texas, and his wife were riding in the presidential limousine through the streets of Dallas when President Kennedy and Governor Connally were shot. Governor Connally survived, but President Kennedy was fatally wounded. 180 million Americans and the people of the world will never forget the tragic event, which took place in Dallas, Texas, Friday, November 22nd, in 1963. The assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, 35th President of the United States. Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy will always be remembered by those who witnessed her display of dignity and courage in her time of trial.